Sober on Purpose is the podcast that takes you beyond clean to fulfilling your dreams. Other programs get you sober. We ask, what's next? Come thrive with us.
Welcome, Sober on Purpose family. I have a really sweet guest for us this morning, and her name is Maggie Clausens. She's the host of the Sober Summit. We will put all those links below because I know this is going to run before that. Really want you to hop over there. It is a free summit. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about that. But first, let's talk about what brought you into actually doing this summit. What was crossing your mind at the time when you said, hey, I'm going to do a sober summit?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So I started my sober journey on Easter Sunday of 2021. And I had tried several times before. I had read Annie Grace's book the year before, and I quit for 2 months. I was really excited about it. And you know, I think I just didn't have that constant messaging in my head that I needed to keep the motivation going. So I read the book and I was all excited. And then, you know, 2 months later, that just all wears off and you forget your why. You forget why you're doing it and you just go right back to it. And it's funny because your brain does not forget where you left off. So I was a nightly wine drinker, and I used it as, you know, my reward for hard day's work. I used it to celebrate the end of the day. I used it to get through bedtime with my three kiddos. I used it to enjoy and connect with my husband during meals. But that was like something we did every single night. There wasn't a break. And I started to get very territorial about my wine. I used to get very upset when my husband was drinking more than me, right? Because I wanted my fair share of that bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. Or if I was upstairs bathing the kids and I knew he was downstairs making dinner and drinking wine, I thought, oh, you know, that's not fair. I'm up mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. You know, just I started having these questions in my head going, is that a good relationship with alcohol? It doesn't sound like that's healthy. And so these questions started, you know, peeking into my head. So I started, you know, looking into the Quitlet books and the podcasts and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, I tried first with Annie Grace's book, and it did work for me. It was fantastic. The day I stopped reading the book was the day I was like, I'm done. But mm-hmm. it, you know, it just wore off after a couple months of really understanding my why. So I picked it back up on Easter Sunday, 2021. We were in church for Easter Sunday, and the priest had said, you know, Easter's about new beginnings. And I thought, gosh, Maggie, you constantly find an excuse to drink. Can you please just find an excuse not to drink? This is your excuse not to drink. It's about new beginnings, right? Easter's about new beginnings. So you've been wanting to do this. This is your excuse to start. So I did. I mean, that night I didn't drink, and it was every day after that until I hit kind of 2 weeks where I felt like, okay, this is slightly becoming my new normal, right? It mm-hmm. felt more normal. It didn't feel like I was trying to get through every night and making that decision every day. And so I signed up to do a 100-day challenge, and I thought that's it. I'll just do a 100-day challenge, see how it goes. And with the full intention of going back, you know, I just was going to try it out. So after 100 days, I felt so great. I'm not going back. And not only am I not going back, but like, I have to start telling people how amazing life is when you remove alcohol. I mean, I felt beforehand that life was very much in a tunnel, right? Mm-hmm. That it was, there wasn't this big wide open sky's the limit feeling. It was very much almost suffocating, that I was just on this hamster wheel and Groundhog Day every day. And it felt like I was just trying to get through every day, and that didn't feel good. And when I removed alcohol, my brain fog went away, which I always thought was just part of being a mom. It's not, you don't have to have it. I slept better, so that when my kids woke me up in the middle of the night, I actually fell back asleep. I wasn't up for the entire night. I had more energy. I was more patient with my kids. I felt like, you know, life was coming together. So I actually attended quite a few online summits in the health and wellness space. Mm-hmm. And particularly, I attend two on sugar. And I thought, gosh, if there's two really high profile summits on sugar, there's got to be one on alcohol. I got to go find it.
Right.
And I couldn't find it. But I thought, well, this is weird. How can there be two on sugar and none on alcohol? There has to be one. So I pitched the idea to a few podcasters thinking that I would just be, you know, the behind the scenes person, help put it together, do all the website marketing, that sort of thing. And I was politely told no. I was politely told this is probably, you know, a US thing, that the podcasters were in the UK. I was told, you know, I don't know what a summit is. We don't really understand. And then again, you know, everyone's really busy. So I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about how so many doors open up when you remove alcohol, right? And people start doing things they never dreamed of, running marathons, writing books, all sorts of things, you know, not necessarily climbing Mount Everest, but it can be whatever your Mount Everest is. Mm-hmm. So I kind of sat there going, could this be my Mount Everest? That thing that I don't dare think I could ever do, but maybe I could do it. So I decided I was going to do it. And I kind of put one foot in front of the other till it got too far where I had to do it. Right. You just start doing it. You're going, Okay, I've told people I'm going to do this. I started doing the interviews. Now I have to actually do it. So yeah, we launched our first Sober Summit, April, 2023. And it was so successful that now I'm doing another one specifically for the holiday season. So I'm super excited. You know, the one in April, when I say it went well, I don't mean that just from an attendee perspective. I got so much feedback from everyone that this was what they needed. The timing was perfect. You know, the speakers were fantastic. The experience, both from a speaker and an attendee perspective, was fun and great and, you know, really valuable. So, yeah, it touched my heart. It wasn't just my mom and husband who attended.
Which is always the fear when you create something online, yes. Right? Is, well, at least my mom will be there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought more than my mom showed up. So
yeah. Can we back up just a minute? So let me give the dates for the Sober Summit. That is November 6th, 7th, and I got it wrong.
No, that's okay. It's November 8th through the 10th. So it's a 3-day online event. We'll have 24 speakers, 8 each day. So we'll have 8 interviews go live each day.
And this is absolutely free. It is Maggie's gift to the world, which she's put a lot of time into. There are some all access passes and things if you want to purchase and see a little bit more. Plus, she's got all kinds of bonuses. And let me tell you, she hosts a really great party.
So, oh, thank you.
Come and show up for the summit, 8th through the 10th of November, which is not that far away. If you'll allow me, can I back up just a little bit? You said some things that are really wonderful. You said, you know, I slept better. I was more available for my kids. The brain fog that I thought was just part of mommydom went away. If there was a pill to take, we would all take that pill. But you didn't do that. You removed something. Were there unpleasant consequences for removing the alcohol? Yeah.
Yes. And I think it's something that people don't talk about, actually. So I experienced a low point in sobriety after removing alcohol. I personally was not prepared for all the emotions that came. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I was numbing, but I was, right? I didn't think it wasn't my intention wasn't to, I wasn't a binge drinker, drinking away all my problems every night until I pass out, that type of thing. Right. So I didn't feel like I was numbing, but you know, 20 years of drinking, that'll do some numbing. And I had to learn how to feel my emotions again. Right. All these emotions came up and my first thought wasn't to drink, but then that meant, well, then what do I do with these? You know, what do I do with these strong emotions that seemed very, very intense? I had to learn how to manage those. And I think that's part of the sobriety journey and the doors that open up is you become such a better version of yourself because you are doing the work it takes to get there. So removing alcohol is just the one thing it takes to open up all these doors, to be more self-aware, to learn your body, to learn what you need, right? So now over the last year and a half of no alcohol, when something happens, like, and life still happens, right? Life is still lifey. Life still happens. My kids are still, you know, cranky. Life still happens, but I can manage it so much better now. So when I'm stressed, I say I'm stressed. I maybe feel stressed, but I don't feel that oh my gosh, the world is ending stress anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel a stress of like, okay, I'm stressed. I have a lot on my plate. What do I have to do to manage it? And that's my thought process now is what do I have to do to manage it? And what is the first step that I have to take? It's not the call my mom crying or run to my husband, you know, and get mad at him for no reason kind of stress. It's a manageable stress. And same with the kids. It's not that I don't freak out on them anymore, but I'm more empathetic to my kids than I've ever been, you know, getting down on their level and, you know, managing their life emotions. So yeah, I don't want to say it was negative. It was a necessary process that I needed to go through to get to the other side. And that's the part of doing the work. It is not just removing alcohol that's going to cure all things, right? It's not just doing that that's going to make life better. It's putting in the work of what do you need to do to be your most authentic, best version of yourself and do that work. Read the books, listen to the podcasts, be more self-aware, reflect, you know, show up as the person that you want to be every day.
Wouldn't it be nice if just getting rid of the alcohol or whatever it is took care of that? I mean, that would be fantastic. And as you said, it doesn't, and it requires doing the work. Was there ever, so you said, you know, you're having this Easter Sunday experience. It's this new beginning experience. You're like, okay, we've made a run at this kind of half-heartedly, read the books, done that. Was there ever a point where you went, this is not worth it? And how did you manage that?
I didn't. I was very, I don't know why this 100-day challenge was so, I got stuck on it. I was like, I'm doing this 100-day challenge, you know, yeah. When you put your mind to something, the numbers added up. So as soon as I got to a certain point where, you know, when you're counting days, you're like, if I drink at this day, I'm going to wipe away all my hard work. Right. So that was a big motivator for me in getting through, you know, some tough times. So no, I never felt like giving up. And then once I hit that 100 days, I mean, we talk a lot about, as part of the Sober Summit, you know, it's great that everyone does these 30-day challenges with Sober October and Dry January and all that, but 30 days only gives you a sliver of what it's like to live alcohol free. When you hit 90 to 100 days, it's mind blowing. Mm-hmm. That's where you really see the magic happen. So yeah, that 100 days was a big motivator for me to get to. And once I got to it, it was on day 101, I'm going, no, I'm not going back. This is too good. So yeah. And again, not to say that you feel great all the time about it. Yeah. There's times where you're going, you know, what do people think of me? Or, you know, you hit hard situations of walking into a work event where everyone's drinking or your first holiday or whatever it might be. But there's enough of us on this side of sobriety that are enjoying it. And it is a killer community to be a part of. I've never been more proud of being part of a community like this. Everyone is just so incredible. It's just, I love it.
That's awesome. And we had talked earlier, how did this shift? You know, you said you were more available for the kids. Well, but you've got adult relationships too. You've got work relationships, you've got your husband, your extended family, holidays, all those types of things. When you decided to do this, what happened to those relationships around you?
Yeah. So I think they do change slightly. My husband, let's start with, you know, your most important, my husband, right? Mm-hmm. He was incredibly supportive and still is. I've never heard my husband tell me he's so proud of me more in our entire relationship. We've been together for 18 years. I've never heard him say he's more proud of me than in doing this. So that feels really good. And I do feel like our relationship is more authentic. He did lose a drinking partner. I'm sure that was hard for him. Mm-hmm. We used to, even the other day, he was like, I don't drink wine anymore because I have nobody to split it with. Well, but listen, if that's your biggest problem, like, that's a good day. Right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, I think there was some changes probably with him and me trying to figure it out, especially when I had my low points. You know, I didn't necessarily, when I was feeling all those emotions going through my sober journey, he was probably going, yeah, this doesn't look so hot. Like, why are you doing this? This doesn't look that great. Right. But it was worth it. I mean, I think it's been really good for both of us. And then friendships, you know, I was scared about the friendships. We had just moved to a brand new neighborhood, a brand new state. And the people I'd met in the neighborhood were good, instantly connected with. But the first time we all hung out, you know, we were all drinking. So now the second time we hung out, I decided, like, all of a sudden I'm not drinking anymore. And, you know, that 100-day challenge saved me. By saying I was doing a 100-day challenge, no one really questions it. They're, oh, that's good for you, right? Mm-hmm. That's great. That's, mm-hmm. that's no one, if you come out of the gate saying, I don't drink, people are off put by that. So by saying the 100-day challenge, it was great. And after 100 days of hanging out with me where I'm not drinking, and we had gone to dinners and concerts and, you know, family get-togethers, they're going, oh, okay, well, this is just who Maggie is now. Right. So they didn't, it's been completely fine. And I've had quite a few of those friendships ask me, you know, how did you do it? I've been thinking about it. Right. So I think you begin to become a lighthouse for other people, which is just amazing. It's an amazing feeling. So, yeah. And then work, I mean, I work remote, so that's helpful. Right. Not having to do those things, but I mean, I have had to travel for work. I have had to go to dinners and things, and my whole thing, I always have a drink in hand. I have something that makes me feel included, that's non-alcoholic. And I leave when I feel like I'm done, you know, and I don't apologize for it. I'm okay not being the last one at the bar. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like because of the state shift, because of all of that shift, they got to experience the fun, lively Maggie who didn't rely on what we could call a social lubricant or things that are happening. And there's becoming more and more a wider used term for what you're talking about, the gray drinking. Can you kind of expand on that, what that term really means?
Yeah. So gray area drinking is, a huge group of people, actually 70% of the population can fall into this gray area drinking. Uh-huh. It's people who don't identify as, an alcoholic and hitting rock bottom. And people who, you know, the other spectrum is people who just naturally don't drink either for religious reasons or whatever, or who can moderate. Right. Mm-hmm. So they can see a glass of wine and take it or leave it. Right. I was never that. I was a taker, but I don't identify as an alcoholic. You could be a gray area drinker and be a binge drinker where you're drinking maybe once or twice a week, but every time you're drinking heavily. Or you can be like me, where I wasn't a binge drinker, but I drank every night. I didn't drink a lot every night, but I drank every night. Right. Mm-hmm. So it really is identifying, like, at what point is it a problem for you? Right. Mm-hmm. And it's a personal journey because everyone identifies with it in a different way. Your rock bottom could be, I don't know, you're spending too much money. another person's rock bottom is they lost their car, they lost their kids, they lost their home, right? It's really whatever that rock bottom is for you. But I think rock bottom too is an interesting concept. I don't feel like you have to hit a rock bottom to change your relationship with alcohol. It's really, again, a personal choice and what feels good for you and who you want to show up as in this world. And for me, that was somebody that wasn't drinking because life without it was just so much better.
Thank you for bringing that up. There, the Center for Change Management just put out a new podcast. I'll have to get the exact name of it, but it's about you don't have to hit rock bottom. You can, as you saw, say, huh, I'm not liking what's happening here and I want to make a change. And oddly enough, we do that with a lot of things, you know, and it sounds like you had an identity shift.
Yeah, I guess you, I mean, I think I got tired of feeling that way, right? I got tired of feeling like I was stuck, like every day was the same and, you know, life wasn't exciting and I didn't know what my purpose in this world was. And I just felt like, I don't know, every day was the same with the kids and I don't know. It just didn't seem like exciting. I just thought there's got to be more to life than this. And you just get tired of being tired.
Right.
Because when you're drinking every night, like I was, even if you're drinking only a couple glasses of wine, that has a powerful effect on your body and your brain. So, I mean, and learning that and educating myself on what alcohol is actually doing to me, even if it is just one glass, right? It changes you as a person and how you feel. So I just got tired of being tired.
Well, and, you know, and they talk about the mommy-dom of the three kids and stuff is always going on and being super busy. But if you're tired all the time,
yeah,
how do you show up, as you said earlier, your authentic self, your best self? So let me go back to the UK podcasters where they said, this is just an American thing. What did you find with your summit? Was it just an American, something in the United States, or was it broader than that?
I mean, the attendees were global. It was incredible. We had people all over the world. I mean, when I looked at the Google Analytics for the event, it was like a Christmas tree lit up with people from all over the world, Africa, Japan, the UK, Australia, you know, all over the world. But I think the concept of a summit was very much a US concept. So I don't think that there's many virtual summits happening in around the world, maybe, or maybe it's a newer concept, but attendees. Yeah. I mean, we had people from all over the world. We had speakers from all over the world. So it's really, you know, trying to find people who want to tell their stories and provide the knowledge that's needed to keep people constantly inspired, constantly motivated, and to get that messaging in people's head to normalize sobriety in the sense that it is not something that you're taking away in your life. It is not something that makes you boring. This is fun. This is amazing. Like, life is just better. So like, how do we keep telling that people that message? So
yes,
they go, let me try it. Because for me, I knew what life was like with alcohol. I didn't truly know what life was like without. I'd maybe taken a couple days off if I was sick or, you know, for whatever reason, but I had never done a string of days off where I really got to feel the effects of it. So if you know what life is like with alcohol, which the majority of us do, ask yourself if you know what life is like without it. And if you don't, then, you know, try it. I mean, you can always go back. But I guarantee you, if you try it, you'll see how amazing and what everyone's talking. I mean, people aren't lying. We're not out there telling everyone, you know, that life is better. And you know, it truly is. It's incredible.
Now tell us, life is better. You've given us the list of life is better. You spoke briefly about the emotional tug and pull. Did you need to seek, you know, there's some fear around, am I going to dig up some things I can't handle? I'm going to need to seek professional help. Can I stay at my job and not, you know, take these relaxers that I take in the evening? Was it just you gritting your teeth and bearing it, or did you seek out some help to manage the emotions that you were feeling?
So I did see like a counselor during that time frame for a couple of months. But as far as like the willpower and actually becoming sober, that was all me. So, you know, the counseling was more along the lines of trying to manage my emotions. But as far as removing alcohol and, you know, becoming sober, it was tapping into all the incredible resources that are out there, you know, the podcasts, the books, the influencers, the experts, all that. There's so much out there. And I found that after doing the first Sober Summit. I mean, there's an incredible amount of resources out there. And I feel like we're very lucky to have that, because 5 years ago, that wasn't the case, right? There wasn't all of these books and podcasts out there. Now the sky's the limit of people talking about gray area drinking and that you don't have to hit rock bottom. So yeah, I mean, I'm a proponent to people who want therapy and counseling. I think it's always good to talk to somebody. I don't now, but I mean, I don't have one now that I go to, but I think it's always, but then again, I'm doing my own self-development. So I went back to school to become a health coach. I'm now going back to school to become a sober coach. So I think that's part of it too, is you get sort of, when you dive into the self-development world, you are your own coach, right? Yeah. Your first client is yourself. So I feel like I've been doing that, you know, by going through these courses and working, you know, on self-development.
So the summit came about because you got so excited about the results that you had seen. People are asking about it. You're searching around. There isn't a summit like this. You've done one already. Tell us about the guests, what the expectations are for this new one. Who have you got coming, and why should people show up?
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this one. I was trying to figure out, so I really wanted this summit to be new and different, right? I wanted people who attended the April summit to feel like, okay, I can come back. It's not going to be the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. So in April, we had, each day was a different theme. For this summit, the whole entire theme is holiday. So mm-hmm. I went through my first sober holiday last year. I wish I had something like this. So I feel like this is a bit of inspiration, motivation right before the craziness starts. We've got a lot of holidays between Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Diwali, Kwanzaa, right? There's so many holidays that happen in this time period. So November 8th through 10th, I felt like was really great timing. Get it in before all you start getting blasted by, you know, all the brands, all the marketing on, you know, it's craziness, right? Over the holidays, you feel the pressure, you feel the stress. So, yeah, we have a great group of people. We've got 24, speakers again. We've got two from Australia. So Bex Weller and Sarah Rusbach from Australia. They will be talking, I don't know if you want me to go through all the speakers, but we've got anywhere on how to socialize alcohol free. William Porter is going to be back on the, psychological side of addiction. So, in April, he was on talking about sleep and the physiological. Now it's the psychological side of it. So the mental and emotional well-being. We've got, Andy Ramage on how to prepare for the upcoming year. So goal setting. I've got some really fun ones. So Derek Brown is talking about how to pair your holiday menu with non-alcoholic beverages, which I thought was really fun. Mm-hmm. And we've got Sarah Kate from goodcleanfun.com. She is doing, we had kind of like a cooking show, but we did a fun and festive holiday mocktail. So she goes through three different recipes and we made mocktails together. I do have Mike Collins. So interesting enough, one of the sugar summits that I was attending, it was the Quit Sugar Summit. He's the host of that. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be on it talking about how to stop your holiday sugar cravings, which is exciting. And then we have you, Tanya, who's on talking about how to set healthy holiday boundaries, which I think is so important, right? How do you set those boundaries with your loved ones and people that you're interacting with over the holidays? So I'm super excited.
Awesome. Well, and that's where I was going next, is it doesn't sound like you had anybody say to you, "Oh, Maggie, you're just no fun if you're not drinking," or hey, we're just really uncomfortable that you're not drinking. Have you had any of those situations? Or you said at the bar, you walk out maybe earlier than you used to. What are some practical, having walked through this yourself, what are some practical things that one was supportive that your husband did, because you said he was super supportive, and two, that maybe you've had to say no to because you've chosen to put that aside?
Yeah. So my husband's been incredibly supportive in the sense, I mean, we've got three kids. I've got a full-time job. I decided to go back to school to become a sober coach, and I'm running the Sober Summit. Right. So let me tell you,
man,
I needed him. I do need him. He is my lifeline in all of this. And so just helping to manage schedules, and, you know, there's nights where I'm up late doing an interview, or up early working on the summit to, you know, it's, so he's been incredible in all of this, and just encouraging me. Like, he's just, he gets it, which is mm-hmm. great. So I love that about him. And then what was your other question?
So let's backtrack into him. He did not stop his drinking. So he chose to continue with what he was doing. You chose to do what you were doing, and it didn't run the wheels off the bus. You both yeah. made choices that were good for both of you. You made decisions on what worked for both of you, and you supported each other.
Yeah. I mean, and I think too, I made the decision, I'm not going to drink for other people. This was something I wanted to do. And so often I drank because other people were drinking, even when I felt like I didn't want to, right? Mm-hmm. It was the two voices on your shoulder going, well, you don't want to drink, but everyone's drinking, right. You know? So, you know, I made that decision of, I'm not going to drink for somebody else, including my husband. So even though he lost his drinking partner, I wasn't going to drink for him. Listen, I wasn't going to tell him he couldn't drink either. That's Absolutely. His choice. And I knew that if I told him he couldn't drink anymore, like, that's not going to work. The number one thing I found in all this, like, you've got to want it. You've got to know your why you're doing it. And you've got to put in the work to do it. No one can do any of that for you. Mm-hmm. So it was never fair for me to ever say, you can't drink if I'm not drinking. So he's on his own journey. He's dabbled in it. He's done some of the dry Januaries and sober Octobers and things like that. So I think it takes time. Like, it took me years to get to where I was not doing it anymore. Right. This only came up when I started doing it. It's going to take him probably a couple years to figure it out himself. So I'm fine with that. It's not triggering.
What would you say? It doesn't sound like you had any, but how would you, as you're becoming a sober coach, how would you help people who are deciding to do this manage family members who struggle with them deciding to do it?
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, communication is really important, right? I feel like so often we assume things of people. We attack people for no reason, or we come to conclusions for no reason, right? I think communications on both sides is the biggest thing. So as important it is for me to communicate my thoughts and feelings around not drinking, it's important for my husband to you know, for him to hear how I impact him, right? Like, mm-hmm. how do I impact you? And I oftentimes what you will get with family and friends is when you say you're not drinking, it's a mirror you're holding up to them. Mm. And all of a sudden their reaction to you not drinking has nothing to do with your drinking. It has everything to do with, oh my gosh, if she's not drinking and I am, what does that say about me?
Yeah.
So I think it's important for, again, everyone to kind of have their own journey, but not to take what your family and friends reaction, don't take it to heart, because it really is a reflection of maybe their own worry on their own behavior. Mm-hmm. So I think it is something that people will go through. You have to go through your first family event. You have to go through your first wedding. You have to go through all these firsts. But when you go through that first and you realize it's not that big of a deal, people really don't care that much. Like, you're so worried about everyone's going to know. There's going to be this bright light over my head just shining on me that everyone's going to know I'm not drinking. Listen, they're just more worried about what drink they have in their hand and that they can still have it, right? They're like, if you're not drinking, does that mean I can't drink? No, go ahead. Like, if you do you, absolutely, let me do me, right?
Absolutely.
I don't judge other people for drinking. Don't judge me for not. So
it is when we first started not drinking, it was interesting being on the other side because people would say to us, do you mind if I drink?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, doesn't have anything to do with me on whether you drink or not. That's fine. I may choose, like you did at work events. I may choose, you know, after the wedding gets pretty deep into it and there's a lot of drinking on, I may choose that's no fun for me anymore, but right, that's my choice. I don't want to stop your fun at all, but I really like, you really brought it out clearly about that mirror of their folks are looking at themselves going, huh, am I missing something here? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Like you said, there are plenty of people who this works for them. It's not a problem. Work keeps going. Everything keeps, family keeps going. Everything is fine. There are people that it doesn't. There are people who are in between. What I really admire about you, Maggie, is you took the step to figure out what worked for you. And you did it long enough to say, I really like this. Because you could have said, nope, did those 100 days, done with it. Going to go back to a couple glasses at night. Happy to do this. And this feels really comfortable for me. Like you said, if you give it up, you can always go back. Nobody's handcuffing you to one way or the other.
No, but I guarantee you, if you give yourself a shot and really, you know, try that 100 days, that you'll be impressed at, you know, what the benefits are. And, you know, there's a lot of options out there for non-alcoholic drinks. You don't need it, right? So I still go, there's a winery in my neighborhood that we moved to. And I was like, oh, that's unfortunate. I moved to Virginia wine country and there's a winery in my neighborhood. And now I decide not to drink anymore. That's, you know, that's unfortunate. Well, guess what? They have a non-alcoholic rosé that is delicious. And do I get to still go with my girlfriends and drink? Yes.
Absolutely.
And I love it. And does it bother them? No, it does. It's fantastic. So, you know, you can still do the things that you want to do as long as it's what you want to do, you know?
Now, the next thing I know for me is to tackle that sugar, because yes, that's what often happens after you quit drinking or if you're trying to do the healthy diet or you're not managing your emotions well, is sugar is a fix for everything, right?
It is. That's a tough one. And that's kind of been in the back of my head, right? So I've given myself a year and a half now of the sugar and now it's like, okay, let's tackle that one next.
We're all going to have to go see Mike. We need to,
yes,
do a big thing to Mike,
yep,
Collins over
he's
there.
He's amazing.
Give us just the brief rundown of your summit one more time, the days and how we would access it, and what it's going to look like.
Yeah. So it's November 8th through the 10th. You can go to thesobersummit.com. Registration will open up on October 23rd. Again, it's 3 days, 24 speakers. There will be 8 speakers a day. It'll unlock at 8 a.m. Eastern, and you'll have 24 hours to view that day's interviews, and then it'll shut off and we'll move on to the next day. If you do want extended access, you can purchase the All Access Holiday Pass, which is amazing. So you get extended access for up to a year or to a year for all the interviews. You get a private podcast to listen to the interviews on the go. And then the speakers have been incredible. So they pitched in over $700 worth of bonuses. So I'm talking courses and books and challenges and workshops and memberships. I mean, these are all resources to help you in your sober journey, and they're giving them away as, you know, a gift. So it's part of the All Access Pass.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And what I do know about this summit is if you go ahead and get your All Access Pass early, it is a lot less expensive than if you
That's
get
true.
It late. So, get on the Sober Summit right now. She's got an Instagram page and a Facebook page going. Get on there. There's going to be bingo. There's going to be party favors. She's got a goodie bag. There's all kinds of things happening. Plus, a major resource list. If you heard Maggie clearly, she started all this with a book, and she puts out a resource list that has podcasts and books and all kinds of things that you can what they call it, sober curious. You can get sober curious about before you actually take any action. And that's part of the change cycle, is getting curious about it. Maggie, I can't thank you enough. Really appreciate you being here. I am really looking forward to the summit. And go ahead and get on there, audience. Get on there, Sober on Purpose family, and take a look at it, because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you. And thank you so much for being a part of it. Your interview was fantastic and I can't wait for people to hear it. So thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Right.
You, beloved listener, are creative, resourceful, and whole. Do you want to add more purpose to your sober journey? Do you want to make room for the new and make your dreams a reality? Apply today for a dream session. Go to tanyajoya.com. That's TanyaGioia.com and apply today. Let's get you dreaming about your new purpose.